I was joking with Phil Marlowe earlier today, and I said, I've been practicing all week for these two words here. Good morning. I've only ever preached on a Wednesday night before, so this is a little different of a look. I do like it because the sun is not shining through those windows and blinding me, so definitely excited to be up here this morning. And honestly, had you told me 9 years ago, on September 9, 2012, that because of my choice to follow the Lord, that this is where I would be today, I would have told you, ain't no way, ain't no how, not me, not this guy. But it's funny because back 9 Septembers ago, when I did give my heart to Christ, I didn't know what He had planned for my life. I didn't know where He was going to lead me. I didn't know what path He was going to take me down. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about anything. All I knew was that I needed a Savior, and that He was the only one that could provide that for me. With that being said, because of my choice to follow and many of your choices to follow Him, I think we know through experiences, through life, if you've been a believer for any number of years or months, you know that it's not always easy. You know that it's not always what you would expect it to be, but I know it's always worth it. That choice to follow Christ in salvation and to follow Him in service is always worth it. Sadly, this morning, around the world, maybe in this room, people still choose not to follow. They still choose to say, no, God, I want to do it my way. I'm not ready to surrender. I'm not ready to follow. I'm not ready for the life that You have planned for me. And I pray for those people this morning that they do trust Him. They do follow Him. Because the Bible says their eternity will not be with Him if they don't. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62 is where we're going to spend the majority of our time this morning. Now, at this point in Jesus' ministry, He is getting, the word's getting out of who Jesus is and what He's capable of doing and how He's doing these miracles and all these things. And along the way, there are many would-be followers. There are many people who have good intentions of following. They just had not counted up the cost of what it would be to actually follow. So Luke chapter 9, verse 57 is where we will pick it up. And it says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to Him, Lord, I will follow You wherever You go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Verse 59. Then He said to another, follow Me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow You, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning, Lord, and we just ask for Your Spirit, Your blessing on this place today. This morning, Lord, I pray that all that we do through this service from beginning to end, that Your name could be lifted up because of it, Lord. I pray that that if anyone here does not know You, Lord, that today will be the day of their salvation. Father, we love You and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. In verse 57, as Jesus is making His way to Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross, Jesus and His disciples had just gotten out of this Samaritan village. They had just gotten out. Jesus sent His disciples ahead of Himself to share that Jesus was coming. And this Samaritan village rejected the notion of Christ. They rejected. They didn't want anything to do with Him. Theologically, didn't match up. Theologically, the way that they did things in life, their culture, didn't add up to what Jesus was telling them. So Jesus said, okay, we're on to the next city. We're moving on. And on their way to Judea and ultimately Jerusalem and the cross, He runs across this man. And this man says, Lord, I will follow You wherever You go. I wonder if His disciples in that time as they were following said, man, this guy's really got it together. This guy really understands what it's like to follow God. It sounded good. He sounded committed. He sounded like he really wanted to be that person that would say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. And it sounded good, and I doubt anybody batted an eye at it. They said, wow, this guy's really, really got it together. He really wants to be that person for Jesus. Although Jesus has a way of seeing through our words, and he can see our heart. He understands what our lips say, but he also understands what our hearts really, really mean. So this man says, I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. So why was he so adamant about following Jesus? What was so exciting about this man hearing and following Jesus? Well, it was simple that, like I said earlier, the ministries that Jesus was doing at this time, he was healing, he was feeding, he was casting out demons. There was a lot of things that were going on, and everybody was hearing secondhand of what Jesus was about, who he was. He was a king. He was John the Baptist. He was all of these people. And he was doing all of these awesome things and these miracles and all these things that he was getting into. And this man heard those things secondhand. And he thought, wow, that's something that I want to be a part of. This is a God that we can follow after. This is a man that we can follow after. And this is somebody that's doing all of these things. I want to be a part of that. The problem with it, how many of y'all know the game Telephone? It starts off good. It starts off true. I say to Ashley, hey, tell everybody that I'm preaching on Sunday morning, and this is the text that I'm going to be out of. And she goes to Barb and says, Phil said he's going to preach on Sunday morning. He's going to preach out of this text. And then Barb goes to Jeremy and says, Phil's going to preach next Sunday morning, and then it gets so discombobulated. By the time it gets to the last person, you don't know what you heard. You don't know what's true. You don't know where it started. And unfortunately, this is the case for this man. Maybe he wanted to follow Jesus because he heard that he was a king and that all of the kings at that time had people following them, and they were kicking out coins and silver. Follow me. I have all of these things that I can offer you. Maybe that's part of the reason why he wanted to follow. But Jesus knew that this man was just a talker. Today, if we were this man, or if this was happening, it might sound something along the lines of, you see, people, when they talk, they really have no intention of doing what they say they're going to do a lot of times. They say, yeah, I would love to do this, but I can't fully commit to it. Yeah, I would love to see this work out, but I cannot fully commit to it. The things that we hear today is, well, I believe in God. I'm religious. I've read the Bible. And all of those things are fine and good, but and a lot of us wouldn't bat an eye at it. A lot of us wouldn't think twice about, oh, this person is a follower of Christ, or that person is a follower of Christ. But Jesus sees and hears different. Jesus sees and hears what we are not willing to say. And we let it go a lot of times. Say, I don't want to get involved in it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about it. A lot of people like the idea of God. A lot of people like the idea of Jesus. But when it comes to following them, they don't like it. Because that means they're going to have to change up something about them that they have been doing for years that they have relied on for so many circumstances and reasons. And they grab out their calculator and they say, well, what would it cost to follow? And they add it up and they divide and they multiply and they say, well, it's too much for me. Too much for me to follow. If I was a true follower of Christ and not just someone paying lip service, being a man pleaser, it would cost more than I'm willing to pay. It would cost more than I'm willing to let go of. It would cost more than I think I'm ready for. Like I said, Jesus sees through our words. He doesn't just hear what's coming out of our mouth. He hears our hearts. He knows our intentions. He knows the reasons why we say the things that we say. And in verse 58, he calls it how it is. He says, he clears the air. He says, now, I don't know what you heard. I don't know about this lifestyle that somebody told you that following me was going to be like. but let me tell you how it is. And he says to this man, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So now this man, this game of telephone gets back to him and he hears it directly from the source who started. He said, look, I don't know what you heard about me. I don't know what you heard about my ministry. I don't know what you heard about who you're going to be following. But this is the lifestyle that you better be willing to accept if you want to be a true follower of Christ. And I find this interesting. As I was studying this out, I said, Jesus created animals in the beginning. These are created beings. We are created beings. Even these animals have a place in this world. Even animals have a place to call home. Even animals have a resting spot. Jesus says, me? I ain't got none of it. They're just rejected in a Samaritan village for who he was. He says, this lifestyle of following me, it's going to be rough. This lifestyle of following me as a true Savior, it's going to be tough. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will face persecution. Again, if you've been a believer for any number of years or any number of months, you know that you've been persecuted one way or another. There's people that always talk about you. There's people that will always pick at you. There's people that will always try and dog you for your beliefs. Why do you come to church 3 times a week? Why do you follow this Jesus? Why do you do it this way? Why do you pray so often? Why would you rather spend time at church than with your family? Why would you? And it goes on and on and on. Well, Jesus and Paul both say that this lifestyle is going to happen. You see, this man, he wanted to fit in with the crowd, only to find out that Jesus himself was an outcast. Now, how do you fit in with an outcast? It's difficult. It's hard. You got to be willing to do it, though, if you want to be a true follower of Christ. You got to be willing to take the punches. You got to be willing to add up the cost, look at the calculator, and say, I don't have a savings that big. How on earth can I do it? And it's a simple, simple solution. You just do. You just do. But this man heard it, and he said, well, Jesus, you're not quite who I thought you were. You're not quite the person I thought I was going to follow. And so he moved on. He said, I appreciate that. I'm glad that you told me up front who you were. I just can't do it. And he moves on, and they take a few steps further, in verse 59, Jesus says to another, follow me. Now, can you imagine being in the crowd right now after Jesus had just said these things to the guy before who said, I'll follow you, and taking a couple steps further, and then Jesus looks right at you and says, you, follow me. Knowing what he had just told the man before, knowing the same lifestyle that if he calls you to follow him, what you have to endure, what you have to look forward to. But he calls this man out, he says, follow me. And this man stumbles a little bit. He says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Sounds like a reasonable request, doesn't it? Sounds like a very reasonable request. Lord, I would follow you, but let me first go and bury my father. Let me first go and bury him. The problem here is he wasn't asking to attend a funeral. He wasn't saying, my dad is dead and I have to go to this funeral. No, this man was different. He wasn't dead. The man's father wasn't sick. He was worried about when he dies, am I going to get his inheritance? Father, if I follow you, Jesus, when my dad dies, am I going to get all that he has still? Am I going to get all of these worldly things and these possessions that are owed to me? Am I going to do that? Am I willing to give up that these material things? Am I willing to give up my father's inheritance to follow you? See, the world tells us that in this life, if we can acquire status, if we can acquire things, whether it be money, cars, clothes, the finer things in life, if we can acquire all of these things and we stack it up, that we're successful, that we've made it. The American dream is nailed down and we have everything. Jesus just said in verse 58, that it's going to be tough. Yeah, you could have all of these things. You could want all of these things. You could acquire all of these things. You can wait for your dad to die to get the inheritance. What's it add up to? What's it add up to? So this man pulls out his calculator and starts doing the math and says, well, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. I don't know that I can fully invest in you, Jesus. Do you know how much money? Do you know how much land? Do you know how much cattle? How many things my dad is going to leave me? He's pretty well off. And if I follow you, if I get rid of all of the material things and I don't chase a job and I don't chase a career and I don't chase a house or a car or any other material thing, is it going to be worth it? Lord, I don't know if I can give that up to follow you. I don't know if I can let go of what the world says I should have. I don't know if I could give it all away and risk not having anything to follow you. And so Jesus says in verse 60, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. What he's saying is, let the world deal with worldly things. Let them worry about what inheritance they're going to get. Let the world worry about what they can acquire. Let the world worry about all of the things, all of the possessions that they can bring in to build their status and leave Jesus out of the picture. Let the world worry about such things, but you go and preach the kingdom. This man couldn't do it. Even though Jesus called him out and said, this is what I want you to do, he added up the cost and said, I couldn't do it. Matthew 16:26 says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, this man couldn't give up his future. He couldn't give up what was coming to him. He couldn't give up what he thought was owed to him, even though Jesus called him to follow him. He couldn't give up he couldn't risk all of the things that he could have in this life. He couldn't say, I'm not going to be Savannah. I'm not going to be a teacher anymore. He couldn't give it up. He couldn't give up the status. He couldn't give up what he wanted to follow Christ. It was too much for him. It was too much for him. But what he didn't realize, I don't believe, is that when he said he's not going to give up his future, it costed him his eternity. So I can't do it. Lord, it's just too much for me to give it up. And he didn't factor in the cost of his eternity. And so Jesus takes a few steps further in verse 61. And another also said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my home. This guy's kind of funny to me. He's in the midst of the conversations. He heard what the first guy said. And then he heard what the second guy said. And he says, well, let me put these two together. He says, Lord, because the first guy said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus calls the other guy out and he says, Lord, I will, but first let me. And this guy says, if I can mesh these together to get the best of both, how will that turn out? So he says, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. He said, Jesus, I'll follow you. I will, but first, let me run home. You mind if I say goodbye to my family before I split, before I go? I will. I plan on following you. I do, but I just got to run back home. It's only a mile away. Can you wait for me? Can you give me a second? Can you just wait until I'm ready to go? You see, when Jesus calls us out, he doesn't call us out. He doesn't say, when you're ready, when it's comfortable for you, when you got your father's inheritance, when you got all your life planned the way you thought it should go, when you're finally in a position to where you can do things. He doesn't wait for us to be ready. Now I look around, I could ask pretty much anybody in this room, were you ready to follow Christ? Did you know what the cost was going to be? And I guarantee everybody would say, mm-mm. I had no idea it was going to be like this. I had no idea it was going to be like this. But it's worth it, isn't it? Sure is. But he says, let me go say goodbye. That's all I want. I want to go say goodbye. So what's the problem with this? Why is Jesus saying, no, you got to come right now? Family has an influence, don't they? Positive, negative. Jesus saw the potential of, if you go home, your family might tell you not to leave. If you go home, your family might say, no, we'll miss you too much. If you go home, they'll say, no, don't go, stay. Don't you have it nice here? Isn't what we provide to you everything you could want? What's wrong with our lifestyle now? What's wrong with what you have? Why would you give up everything to follow this man of Jesus? Why would you give up everything? Everything to follow somebody that you know nothing about. All you did was hear about this man. Why would you do that? You see, Jesus understands the ins and outs of everything, and the influence of this man could have been detrimental to him. So he whips out his calculator and says, well, Lord, let me add up and see if I can go without saying goodbye to my family. My mom, my dad, my brothers, my sisters, my aunts, my uncles, my grandparents. Can I do it? Can I let it go? Can I just follow? See, Jesus was not telling this man to go ask permission to see if his family would approve of the decision that he was going to make. He didn't say, go there and ask, run it by mom and dad. Run it by grandma and grandpa. Run it by brother and sister to see what they think about it. Jesus didn't say this. He says, follow me. He said, I'll take care of it. He says, yeah, it's not going to be easy. Yeah, it's not going to be fun some days. I'd love to stand up here and tell you that every day I wake up, I'm excited and I'm gung-ho about the things that are going on in my life. But I'd be standing up here telling you that's a lie. I would love to tell you that every day I wake up, that following Jesus, while it was the best decision that I've ever made in my life, was easy. Simply not the case. Simply not the case. But I know that this world is temporary. I know that everything here is going to fade away eventually. I know that God's word is eternal and it will last even to the ends of the world. So why would I... 9 years ago in September, why would I follow when I knew nothing about it? When I knew nothing about what he had in store for me? When I knew nothing about who I was going to be as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower? Because I knew, the only thing I knew that day was that if I died the day before, if I died before that, I was going to hell. That's what God's word says. So is he saying in this to not love your parents or not love your family or not love anybody? No, he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he who loves his father, and this is Jesus speaking, he who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Is he saying not to love these people? No, by no means. He's saying if you prioritize influence in your life, whether it be family or other, if you prioritize these people over me and you take into consideration all of their thoughts and all of everything that they're saying versus what my word tells you, if you have to run it by somebody to make sure that you're doing everything I'm calling you to do, just to see how people will react, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. If you put anything else above me, what are you doing following me? That's what Jesus says. He said, didn't say don't love them, don't care for them, don't pray for them. He's saying you cannot prioritize family, the closest thing to us a lot of the time. You cannot prioritize family over Christ. And he moves on to verse 62, and this is what he says to the man who is wanting to run back home. He says, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He's considering this man to be double-minded. This man wants to hold on to his life. And he also says, once I get that squared away, Lord, then I'll follow you. He wants both of them, not willing to give up control in his own life. Grabs his calculator again, says, let me check one more time and see if I can do it, Lord. Let me check and see if I can leave my family. Let me check and see if I can say goodbye to my son's daughter's family, mom and dad. And he does the math and he says, can't do it. I can't let go of what I have. I can't say goodbye to my mom and dad and carry on the lifestyle that you've called me to live, Jesus. I just can't do it. Many other stories. You guys remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm sure. God spares the Lot and his wife and family. And as they're running to the town as Sodom and Gomorrah is being destroyed, Lot's wife looks back. There's a heavy influence from the people that were in Sodom and Gomorrah. And she looks back longing for, I wish I could still be there. Lord, I know that you're pulling me out of this, but my heart can't let go of the lifestyle that you're calling me out of. And she looks back and turns into a pillar of salt. And that was it for her. The Israelites, as they had been delivered out of Egypt, Jimmy preaches on this, they get out of Egypt and they complain, why can't we just go back? Yeah, we were slaves. Yeah, we didn't have it all, but at least they fed us decent food. At least they took care of us decently. But they completely took out the fact that they were slaves to these people. They said, if we could just go back to who influenced us and who got us this far, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Just take us back. Let us be part of this. And they spent years wandering in the wilderness because of it. Because they didn't want the lifestyle that the Lord had for them. They weren't willing to commit. They weren't willing to let it go. They weren't willing to do what Jesus called them to do. So it comes to the point of, well, if he doesn't want any of this, what does he want? Lord, if I only kind of follow you and you don't like it, what do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want out of my life? Turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 17, or actually verse 16 through 20. Mark 1, verses 16 through 20. This is what Jesus says. This is what he wants. It says in 16, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Verse 19, when he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. This simple little story of Jesus calling these four disciples, this is exactly what he wants. Everybody before in the stories that we just read in Luke, everybody there hesitated. Everybody there said, Lord, I will, or I will but, or let me first button up this in my life and then I will take care of it. Let me first tend to my livelihood so that I'm squared away so that if something does happen on this journey, my family will be taken care of. Lord, let me get my inheritance. What he says, what these Peter, Andrew, James, and John did, he called them out while they were working, while their livelihood was at stake, and he says, you follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And Peter, Simon and Andrew, they dropped their nets. They said, I'm willing to give up my future. They said, this is the job that I've been doing since I was a little boy. How will I provide? I'm sure all of these things were running through their heads, but they let it go. They let it go. They said, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. And they let it go. And they turned from everything that they had, everything that they knew, the lifestyle that they had been raised in. They let it go and followed Jesus. And Jesus walked a little further and he said to James and John, who were also fishing, and he called them out, and immediately he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. They didn't say, hey, Daddy, Jesus is calling. Do you mind if I let these nets go and follow him? The servants, are you guys good before I leave? Do you need anything before I go and follow? Are you sure you're going to be okay without me? Dropped it and left. And now we know throughout the Gospels that these folks were not perfect. Oftentimes they screwed up a lot. But along the way, Jesus was there to correct them. Along the way, Jesus was there to guide them. Along the way, Jesus was there to be the true God that they knew he was. God wants everything that we have. He wants our commitment, not just our lip service. He wants our action. He wants everything that we have to offer. The question this morning is, are you willing to give it? Only you know that answer. Only you know your willingness. But I know that the Spirit's here this morning. And only he can change that. It's a no. So as we stand,